I was in Moscow for a year.
For a year?
More or less. I used to go for a couple of weeks and come back for a week. So for about a month, I lived in my own apartment. To get to the yeshiva, I had to take a bus one stop. So in the winter, I knew that was like 10 minutes. If I was there at the bus stop for more than 10 minutes, I wouldn't be able to get on the bus.
It was in Moscow.
I was in Moscow for a year. Yeah. Well, I went back and forth. I wasn't completely disconnected from reality. But it was nice. I liked that. Something about it I liked a lot.
The cold?
I think all the women at the bus stop looked like my mother. So far away. Yeah. That look, that weary look. Okay. I want to say this about Makot Mitzrayim, about the plagues in Mitzrayim. My assumption is always that if Hashem wanted to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim, it could have been done more efficiently. Didn't have to have 10 makot. Could have done it b'makah achat. Furthermore, it always seems to me that even if you'd say that the Egyptians deserved a greater punishment because of the way they treated the Jews, despite of the fact that the Egyptians were kind of the agents of God. God promised Abraham that they would be enslaved in Egypt. So why would the Egyptians be punished? Now everybody asked that question. And the generally accepted answer is that the Egyptians were too enthusiastic about their job. They were willing to kill out a lot of Jews, and they were willing to kill the children, and etc. So they were punished. But again, that doesn't explain to me why there are 10 plagues. That punishment could also be meted out at one time, all at once. Why the 10 plagues? So that my assumption is that the plagues have a double purpose. They are punishment for the Egyptians, but they are lessons for Am Yisrael. Somehow, they are part of the process called Yitziat Mitzrayim, which was not just about physically taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim and bringing them to Har Sinai, but somehow giving them the awareness that they had to be of a certain standard to even get to Har Sinai. You can't just go to Har Sinai and get the Torah. You have to be to some extent worthy. And the worthiness of the nation of Israel, right, the children of Yaakov Avinu, was determined during this period of time called Yitziat Mitzrayim, when the Makot played a role in that. I mean, it's true, Moshe Rabbeinu played a role in that, certainly, which is not what we're discussing now, but the Makot themselves played a role in this. Now, what could I possibly be referring to? So I remind you of the fact that the Makot in Mitzrayim, the 10 plagues that we all know so well from the Seder, where, we kind of enthusiastically and with great love beat up on the Egyptians year after year, that's the order that appears in the book of Shemot. Right down, Sradeh, Kinim, Arov, Deva, Shechin, Barat, Abe, Choshech, Bechorot. That's the order of things. Now these Makot in Mitzrayim are discussed in two other places in the Tanakh, both in Prakim and Tehillim, where the Makot in Mitzrayim are listed and in an order. Now the two prakim are here on the sheath. The first one is in Perek Ayin Chet, and the second is in Perek Kuf Hei. So, I mean, let's start from Kufay, right? Backwards from the way it was printed in the sheet. I just want you to see. It says, Shalach Moshe Avdo Aharon Asher Bachar Bo. Moshe sent Aaron. Samo Bam Divrei Ototav Umoftim Be'eretz Cham. Okay, you know, the words in Tehillim are not exactly the same as the words in Lechumah, so you could talk about it. But the otot, these signs, were brought by Aharon into Mitzrayim. Pasuk Kuvchet says, Shalach Choshech V'yachshoch Lo Maru Et Devarav Ubarot. There was Choshech, there was a Makah Shel Choshech. This phrase, Lo Maru Et Devarav, Et Devarav Dibaro, Rashi explains, you see the Rashi is right under the paragraph, Hamakot Shetziva Alehem Ba'u B'mitzvotav V'lo Shinu Et Devaro, that the Aaron brought the Makot as Moshe Rabbeinu was taught to do. They came immediately. So the first thing that's mentioned is some kind of Choshech, whether it's the Makah of Choshech or not. It's hard to know. Pasuk Kavtet, Afachad may mehen the dam, Vayamet et digatam. Vayamet et dagatam. First Makkah is the Makkah of dam, as you know. And this Pasuk, which is kind of a very precise way of speaking, had to say something about the dam. What's the thing that it chose to say? What did it say about the dam? Vayamat et dagatam. And all of the fish in the waters in Egypt died. Right? Pasuk Lamed Bet, Batan Kishvehem Barad, Eshlavot Barzam, Vayach Gifanam Uteinatam, Yeshaba Eitz Gulav. This is all about the different Makot. Right? So it says here, Pasuk Kavtet, again, go backwards, Afachat Behem Nidam, Vayamat Et Degatam, it's Dam. Pasuk Lamed Sharat Atzam Tzvardeim V'chadrei Malcheichem. Right, there were a lot of Sharat Atzam Tzvardeim. You see the Rashi? Omar Rabbi Yochanan v'kol makom shayu rovtzim mayim ayu rovtzim Tzvardeim. So that they were every place, these Tzvardeim. And the order of things is first there's Dam and then there's Tzvardeya. That's what I wanted you to see in this chapter of Tehillim. Interestingly, it's very hard to understand, to compare the Makkah of Dam from the Makkah and the Makkah of Tzvardeya. After all, the Makkah of Dam, I mean, everything died. Everything lived from the water in Egypt. Imagine what a tragedy it was. In Egypt, all life was dependent on the Nile and other rivers of that kind. So the Makkah of Dam equals death. Equals death. Everything died. Now, Tzvardeya is of a totally different order. I mean, I can understand that having a lot of Tzvardeim creeping around your head could be an annoyance, but it's nothing like Dam. And therefore, there are traditions of Chazal that say these Tzvardeim were gigantic, and every time they whacked the Tzvardeim, it became two Tzvardeim. You know, they're trying to, try to figure out what was really the oppressive nature of the Baka of Tzvardeya. Or another way of saying it would be, Dam, everything died. Tzvardeya, I mean, how could that follow Dam? I mean, what's the idea here? What's the idea of Tzvardeya after? Because whatever I say about the Tzvardeya, it does not seem to be as severe as the Makkah of Dam. So we have in this perek, in perek Kufay, we have a reportage, right? First there was Dam, all the Dagim died, Sharat Atzam Tzvardeim B'chadrei Malcheihem, but the Tzvardeim, they were just all over the place. They were really an annoyance, but it's not quite the same as everything living in the waters dying. Not quite the same. Now, if you look at Perek Ayin Chet, right, the top of the page, there's a curiosity here. In Pasuk Mem Gimel, Asher Sam B'Mitzrayim Ototav U'Moktav B'State Tzoan. State Tzoan is a place in Egypt, right? They were in Egypt. Pasuk Mem Dalet, V'Yafoch Ledam Ye'orehem V'Nozlehem Bal Yishtayum. So everything turned into blood. Everything turned into blood there. The rivers, the running water, nothing changed. Then, Pasuk Mem Hei, Yishlach Behem Arov, V'yochlem, U'tzvardeya v'tashchitein. So now, Arov is in the wrong order. It's not the same order as it is in Shmot. Shmot Dam Tzvardeya Kinim, Arov. Tzvardeya Kinim, Arov. What's the order in Tehillim? What's the order in Tehillim? Dam, then Arov, and Tzvardeya. And it's not clear, reading Tehillim, whether Tzvardeya is a separate Makkah, or maybe it's part of Arov, because what was Arov? Well, was there like all these wild beasts running around together? So I guess a few frogs could also be part of Arov. I mean, it's hard to tell. So that according to Perek Ayin Chet, there was this disparity in considering Tzvardeya. Of course, you risk a few other as well. You risk a few other makot as well. But somehow the notion that Tzvardeya comes after Arov is certainly unexpected. It's unexpected, especially since this idea of the Tzach HaDach Shvachav, right, which is Tanaitic. It's a Tanaitic position that you could use those abbreviations, that somehow those abbreviations are meaningful. So those abbreviations might be meaningful. Okay. So, I mean, this is like the background. Now, if we look at let's look first at the Dam. See, Shmot Perek Zayin? That's Dam. Vayom Hashem al Moshe Kaved le paro me'ein l'shloach ha'am. Lechel paro b'boker, hinei yotzeh ha'mayma, v'nitzavto l'krato, tzvat ha'yor. I mean, after all, we all know that Paro and the waters, you know, they were friendly. He was the king, and that was the god. And al tzvat ha'yor, v'hamateh shenepach v'nachash, tikach b'yadecha. You remember that the two signs that Moshe Rabbeinu had before he started giving out these makot, these plagues to the tribe, were the staff and his leprous arm, right? What happened with the staff? He took the staff, they threw it down, and it turned into a stake. Then all the chartumim in Mitzrayim, they did the same thing. They took their staffs, threw them down, and they all turned into snakes. Then what happened? Know what happened? The Aaron snake, the good guy, the good snake, swallowed up all the bad snakes. All of the bad snakes. That's what happened.
But Rashi says it was a staff that went back to Makel and swallowed the snakes.
Yeah. The Medrash says that this is called a Nes B'toch Nes. A miracle within a miracle, which the Gemara or the Medrash seems to think is quite a remarkable thing, because if it turns into a snake, then that should be the end of the line for it. You know, like that's already a big deal. Which is why Rashi says that the snake became a staff and the staff ate the other staffs, because it wanted to be a different miracle. There is this idea that to say that a miracle bred a miracle is something that's unreasonable. But you're right. We'll get back to it. So that was the first sign. And what was the importance of the Chartumim? That they were able to do the same thing. And this set the tone for the opposition of Paro. Right? Paro said, if my guys can do the same thing that Moshe does, then that proves that Moshe does not have a special access to God. Nothing special. And then even when the Chartumim could not imitate what Moshe did, right, even when that happened, it didn't matter. Because then Paro would say, okay, my guys can't do it, but someplace in the world there's somebody who can do it. And that's why Paro, in other words, it's true that it says in the Pasuk that God hardened Paro's heart. Right? Again and again, God hardened Paro's heart. But what did Paro think? Did Paro say to himself, I'm opposed to letting the Jews out because God is hardening my heart? I guess not. Paro must have had a svara. He must have had some idea that enabled him to be so obstinate. Because if he thought he was going to lose, he would have sent the Jews away. But he didn't think he was going to lose because the Chartumim, because these magicians were able to imitate what Moshe Rabbeinu did. And then even when they weren't able to imitate what Moshe Rabbeinu did, it didn't make any difference because Paro could say, okay, my magicians are not able to, but there are probably magicians someplace in the world who can. And therefore, I'm not impressed by what Moshe Rabbeinu did. What I have to do is stop this pain that is afflicting Mitzrayim. And that's what Paro did time and again. So now let's look at this again. Lechel Paro Baboker Pasuk Tedvav. Lechel Paro Baboker Nei Bat Yotzei HaMaima V'nitzavta Lekrato Al Sfat HaYeor V'amateh Asher Nefach Le'Nachash Dikach B'Yadchach. And take the mateh, take the staff that became a nachash. It's sort of like a sign for Paro. But of course it's going to backfire because Paro's men also had staffs that turned into snakes. So it didn't make any difference. V'amarta elav, Hashem Elokei ha'ivrim, shalachani elecha le'mor shalachat ami v'yavduni b'midbar, v'nei lo shamata ad kol. God sent me to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim and you haven't paid much attention. Ko'amar Hashem b'zot teida ki ani Hashem hinei enochi makeh b'amateh Hashem b'yadi alamayim Hashem b'yor. Now you're going to learn, you're going to get a lesson. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, this is going to be your lesson. Now all the water in Mitzrayim is going to turn into blood. And there it is. And all the fish in the rivers are going to die. I mean, this is both a statement of intent, but it's also, it's not exactly a punishment for Paro. I mean, unless he liked sushi. But maybe he didn't. Maybe he liked to eat steaks. So what is this, what do you have to say that the daga, that all the fish in the river are going to die? So he says, Hadaga, Asher ba yor tamut, pasuk yud chet, uva ash ha yor vinil u mitzrayim nishtot biyom, it'll all start stinking and there won't be any water and they'll have to work hard to get water out of the ground, as we'll see. Pasuk Yutet. V'yom Hashem Moshe Mor La'aron Kachet Matecha U'Neteyetcha U'Memei Mitzrayim Al Naharotam V'Al Yoratam V'Al Agameya. All the water in Mitzrayim, the rivers, the lakes, the puddles, every collection of water that there is with you dam, it'll all become blood. And the entire country will be filled with blood. Even the trees and the stones, right, they grow out of the ground, they'll be placed in collection of the water, it'll all be blood. Hashem. Asher ba yor le de parole ne vadav ya khul a mai ma sheba yor asher ka yor le. And then you have this two difficult psukim. Again, we're on pasuk kaf aleph. It says adaga asher ba yor meita va yivash ha yor. The whole place started stinking from the dead fish. Velo yachlu mitzrayim lishtot mai min hayor, just as God said. And Moshe repeated, "Vayhi adam bechol eretz mitzrayim." And then pasuk of bet vayasu kein chartumei mitzrayim. It's an absolute mystery. What do you mean vayasu kein chartumei mitzrayim? Didn't God say to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Paro that this is going to happen, and because this is going to happen, this blood, you're going to let the Jews leave? Now, obviously, if the chartumim and mitzrayim are going to do exactly the same thing, so then Paro will be fortified. So how was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Chartumim to do this? Do they represent some kind of an independent power that can do what it wants in spite of what God says? We don't go for that kind of interpretation, right? So I'll leave that out. But if we look at it naively, you say, here God is promising Paro that this Makkah is going to be so serious that you're certainly going to let the Jews get out of Mitzrayim. When that Makkah finally comes, along come the Chartumim, they dance in, and they wave their hands around, and they turn the water, other water, I guess, whatever water was left, also into blood. Now how does that fit into the storyline? What does that say about God? What does it say about God's protection of Bnei Yisrael? Why were the Chartumim so significant? I mean, it's true that the end and the Makav Kinim, they kind of peter out, but as I said before, the fact that they were able to reproduce the nace of the Mateh, and then the Dam, and then the Tzvardeya, and then they sort of petered out. That itself made all of these signs worthless as far as Paro was concerned. He was no longer interested. It was just a question of a power versus a power. It had nothing to do with what God wanted or didn't want. So it says, "Vayasuke pasuka bet chadutei mitzrayim belatehem vayechzak leiv paro," and Paro became tough. "Velo shabar lehem kashe debe Hashem." Vayifen paro vayavol beitov velo shat libo gam lazot. Paro didn't pay any attention. He went home, right? Pasuk havdalet vayachperu. Vayachperu kol mitzrayim svivot hayor mayim lishtot ki lo yachlu lishtot mimemei hayor. And the Egyptians are spending all their time trying to find a source of fresh water. They're digging a hole here and they're digging a hole there. Imagine this, this situation. I mean, it's hard to imagine when Paro is tough. He's not going to give in. Pasuk hafhei vayimalei shivat yamin acharei hakot Hashem et hayor. After 7 days passed, vayom Hashem al Moshe bo el Paro v'amarte elav kol amar Hashem. Go to Paro and tell him again, Shalach et ami v'yavduni, send my people out of Mitzrayim and they will serve me. V'ma'ein ata l'shaleach, hinei anochi nogev et kol givulcha b'svardeim. And if you don't listen, God said, then I will bring upon you a plague of tzvardeim. There you have it. In a nutshell, the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. But there are a few more psukim that we should look at. Look at the second page here. Look at the second page. It says Shmot Perek Chet. You see Shmot Perek Chet? Vayom Hashem Moshe and Noel Aharon Neteit Yadcha B'matcha Al Hanarot V'Al Yorim V'Al Agamim. The same thing. Yorot, he says, raise your arm on the rivers, on the other kinds of waterways, va'al ha'agamim, like collections of water, va'al et ha'tzvardeim al eretz Mitzrayim, va'al. et ha-tzvardim al eretz Mitzrayim. The second pasuk says, "Vayet Aaron et yado meimei Mitzrayim." But Aaron did it. Where is he back to? He's back to meimei Mitzrayim. The first makor of dam was on meimei Mitzrayim, on the waters in Mitzrayim. The second makor called tzvardeya was exactly the same. Al matei Mitzrayim. And then it says, "Matala tzvardeya," singular. The frog. A frog, vata'a, it went up. If you look at Rashi, Rashi's vata'a tzvardeya. You see the Rashi right underneath? Tzvardeya achat haita. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
There was just one frog. One little frog. Tzvardeya achat haita vayumakinota. All they had to do, these Egyptians, was just not do anything. And they would only have to contend with one frog, according to Rashi. But he says, "Vayu makinota," they would beat up on it. "Vehi matezet nechilim," and then little frogs came out. Nechilim, nechilim. Zehu medrasho. Rashi admits that this is not the simple interpretation of the pasuk. But what is the certain simple interpretation of the pasuk? Pshuto yesh lomar sherutz hatzvardeim korei. That when you talk about reproduction, frog reproduction, the word that's used is a singular. Everybody knows that sometimes a community is represented by a singular. Like you say, there's one man, two men, but a thousand men in Hebrew. You could say Adam ki. Right, a man who does such and such, but you mean any man, you don't mean a single man. That's the nature of him. That's what Rashi says. That's the pshat. So Rashi himself is doubtful about whether this makkah only had one frog to start with or not. But again, that was what the frog was. What was this frog? he was like an amoeba. You know, I was like wondered about those. When I was in school, so we had biology for a year. The thing I remember most was this idea that the paramecium in the petri dish, if it wants to reproduce, it just charges at the end, goes like this, and it breaks into two, and then you have two paramecium. I thought that this was a great idea. I couldn't understand why the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't organize that for everybody, and why birth had to become a big issue. Paramecium had it under control. So the same thing is true about the frogs. The frogs, if you whack the frog, so it became a whole community of frogs, and that was the makkah. That was the makkah. If you look at pasuk hey. Vayikra Moshe Parol Moshe LaAaron Vayomer HaTiru. I'm sorry, Pasuk Gimel. Vayasu Kein HaChartumim Bilatehem. And again, the Chartumim did the same thing. They produced frogs. Frogs came along. They started beating the frogs of the Chartumim, and I guess they became more frogs and more frogs. So they joined in on this frog festival. Vayalu et tzvardeim al eretz Mitzrayim. As then, vayikra parol Moshe l'Aaron, vayomer hatiru el Hashem yesar tzvardeim mimeni u'me'ami v'shalchah et ha'am v'yizmichu l'Hashem. Vayomer Moshe pasuk hei l'parol et be'er alai l'matai atir lach l'amodecha l'amcha l'achrit et tzvardeim mitoch mimcha u'mibatecha. When should I do this? So Paro said, "Vayomer machar." I want it tomorrow, right away. "Vayomer kidvarcha." I'll do what you say. Teida ki ein kashem elokeinu. There's no one else like our God. The sorrow atzvar the imimcha umi batecho mi avadecha umi amecha. Rak ba yoti sha'arna. They'll only be left in the river. Vayetzei Moshe v'Aaron mini Paro v'Yisak Moshe l'Hashem al devar tzvardeim asher sam leParo. Vayas Hashem kidrat Moshe, God followed Moshe's lead, so to speak. Vayamutu hatzvardeim min habatim min hamit vachatzeirot umin hasadot. No more. They just all disappeared. All these tzvardeim. Vayitzberot al chamorim chamorim. They made piles of the dead frogs. Vativ asha aretz, and everything started to stink. Vayar paro ki aitahar vacha vechmedit libo v'lo shamar lehem ka'asher diber Hashem. So if I compare these two stories, there are some things that seem to kind of hint at a relationship. For example, in the Makkah of Dam, the fish died and they started to stink. Vayim ash. They produced a stink. The Tzardim, when they died, they also produced a stink. Another similarity in the two stories is that the Chartumim managed to imitate what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu made blood. They made blood. Moshe Rabbeinu made Tzardim. They made Tzardim. But I find it interesting. I find it that in neither case did Paro go to the Chartumim and say, put a stop to it. In neither case. The Chartumim, Paro did not even have a Havamina. You know, he did not even have a thought in his mind that the Chartumim, who were able to produce dung, and the Chartumim who were able to produce frogs, would be able to stop what was going on. It was impossible. He didn't even ask them. He didn't speak to them. Yes. It's another thing that in both cases, there's a kind of a timing, right? In the first case of Dam, it took a week to get everything straightened out again. In the second case in Svardeh, it took a day. The next day, but the timing is mentioned in both cases. It's the difference between Dam and Svardeh. In the Makkah Dam, if you look again at Dam, Pasuk, here. If you look starting from Pasuka Bet, Perek Zayin Pasuka Bet, Vayasu Ken Chartumei Mitzrayim, Kelatehem, the Egyptians made blood with their magic. Vechazek Le Paro Velo Shama Alehem Kasher Diber Hashem. And Paro didn't listen. He didn't listen. Pasukav Gimel, Vayifin Paro, he turned away. Paro turned away. We have all Beito, he came home. Lo Shat Libo, Gam Lazot, and he did not consider this a course of action at all. Moshe Rabbeinu had said. Pasukav Dalid, Vayach Peru Kol HaMitrim Svivot HaYor Maim Lishtot. And the Egyptians had to dig wells or springs looking for fresh water, and that's how they drank. They could not drink the water from the river. The Yor is usually the Nile. And 7 days passed from the time that the water turned to blood. Pasuk Vav, Vayom Hashem al Moshe, Bol Paro, Vamarta Elav, Ko Amar Hashem, Shalachet Ami V'Yavduni. And Hashem said to Moshe, let's start the process over again. Go to Paro and tell him to send my people. V'ma'ena tal shaleach, Hine Anochi Nogev et Kol Gvulcha B'Svardei. I will bring upon you the plague of Svardeim. So what's missing in the story of Dam, which appears in almost every other Makkah in Mitzrayim? Shema? אני לא שומע. לא, לא, מה חסר בדם? מה חסר בסיפור על הדם?
אין בקשה להפסיק את המסע.
אין בקשה?
להפסיק את
המסע. יפה. הבת שלי. There is no request on the part of Paro to end this makkah. And furthermore, this no request is not aimed at the Chartumim. Again, is even though the Chartumim caused the hardening of Paro's heart, as far as Paro was concerned, remember we said before, Paro didn't think that God hardened his heart. He thought that he would be able to overcome somehow because of the Chartumim. So Paro did not ask anybody to end this makkah. I mean, from reading the psukim, it sounds like the fact that they could dig a hole here and there and find some spring water to drink, that was sufficient. It was Hashem that decided to end the makkah. It just ended. And then came along the tzvardim. So that there is some kind of a relationship in the order of things between the makkah of dam and the makkah of tzvardim. Now, what is the relationship between the makkah of dam and the makkah of tzvardim? Well, dam, nothing could live in the water. Nothing could live in the waters. That includes tzvardim, minastam. I mean, it's the frogs couldn't live in that water. They lived in the water, I think. I mean, they jump around, but they're like connected to water. And they couldn't live in the water because nothing could live in the water. So that when the Svardaim came, just one second, at the end of the Parsha of Dam, Pasuk of Zion, and we said all the time, I mean, what's the connection? God said, if you don't let them out of Mitzrayim now, then you're going to get Tzvardim. They just went through Dam. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu think that Tzvardim is going to be so oppressive that they will let the Jews out of Mitzrayim? So it seems to me, and this is something that I can't really prove, but it just seems to me, that there are makot that, this was already pointed out, well, I'm going to say, the first thing I'm going to say is pointed out by the Rishonim. There are makot that are natural, like locusts. Locusts in Egypt are not uncommon up to our time. So, what makes it into a makkah? What makes the arbe into a makkah? The timing of it. It's not because locusts are a miracle. Locusts are not a miracle. The miracle was that the locusts came when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Let them come." So there are those kinds. Then there are the kinds of makot that seem to contradict. I can even put makat b'chorot into the category. I mean, if you have, there have been instances where there was a tremendous plague in the world, and that plague struck down, you know, old people and children who were not able to fight off the ravages of the plague. So that's also a rove is not a regular kind of thing where you see. I mean, it could be, but again, it isn't. But what is not at all regular? Dam. Dam is not regular. Dam is not regular because it contradicts the essential nature of creation. Creation was the creation of a world in which life could proceed. You could have life in the world that God created. And especially especially the daga, is mentioned in Bereshit, right, as being part, as being the creation in the waters. There is something created in the water called daga, so that the makah of dam contradicts the essential nature of the created world, and sort of says that God is willing, in order to save the Jewish people, to get them out of Mitzrayim, to do something which is counter-indicated by the way God created the world. In other words, this is it's true that Rashi says at the beginning of Bereshit, that you have to know that just because something is there doesn't mean it'll always be there. Doesn't mean that it's inviolate. Doesn't mean that God can't change things. That's, all of that is true. But the way God created the world represents the way the world should be. And Dam is something that contradicts the nature of the world. The Chartumim, whose power is derived not from heaven, but some other less appealing source, they are able to destroy, but not able to rebuild. In other words, they are able to repeat, what to say, dam. We'll make dam, and everything in the waters will die, and everything will be destroyed. That they have a certain ability to do. But even Paro knew that they cannot restore the world that God created. That they can't do. Not even worth talking to them. Nothing to look at. It's impossible. But when it came to dam, when it came to the undoing the dam, Paro understood, and Moshe Rabbeinu understood, that it would have to be undone. It had nothing to do, or it was not necessarily connected to Moshe Rabbeinu davening to have the dam go away. A world in which all the waters were blood was not the world that God created. And the plagues in Mitzrayim were not intended to undo the world that God had created, but rather to punish the Egyptians, or to give the Jews, as we said at the beginning, to give the Jews some kind of vision of what is going on. And so even though the plague of Dam was not undone by the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu, but was undone kind of automatically, right? A week passed, and there was no more blood, because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended it to be. And then after the Dam, what came in the Dam? What came after the Dam? The Tzvardeya. What is the Tzvardeya? The Tzvardeya, besides being a makah, right? It's a makah, it's an annoyance, it bothers you, but it's a proof that the world returned to its old way, because the Tzvardeya grew in the waters. It multiplied and became, so the Tzvardeya is also represents a return to life, so to speak. And even though the Chartumim were able to reproduce the Makkah of Tzvardeya, they were able to do it over, to make a few Tzvardeim running around. It never occurred to Paro to ask the Chartumim to somehow deal with the Tzvardeya, because their power was only in making things bad, but not in returning them to the way they should be, or the way that God wanted them. This Paro apparently understood. So from the point of view of Am Yisrael, but what about you, Am Yisrael, it's an educational matter. It's education. Dam and Tzvardeya are educational in nature. So understand that there are even in heaven, there are certain rules that have to be followed. And if there's a makah, that defies the creation, the way the world was created, that makah would not, that cannot continue to exist beyond the allotted time. Dam, a week, and Tzvardeya, machar. Right, was the allotted time that they received. So here, Am Yisrael being prepared to leave Mitzrayim, to go to Har Sinai. And you remember I feel that it's probably a reasonable thought, it is a reasonable thought to say that Am Yisrael didn't just go to Har Sinai and get the Torah and were so impressed by the fact that there were all this sound and light show going on at Har Sinai that they decided to keep the Torah. But as the Maharal says in several places, in order to accept something, you have to be worthy for acceptance. It's got to fit in with you. Right? So that if you study anything, and somebody, like if you study history, and somebody gives you a history book in the area that you're interested in, but it's written in Chinese, and you don't know how to read Chinese or understand it, so you didn't get anything. You can say, oh, here's a present, a Chinese book of English history. I mean, okay, I don't know Chinese. I didn't get anything. So the Torah, this explains why there were mitzvot given to Bnei Yisrael before they came to Har Sinai. Because in order to accept mitzvot, you have to be a mitzvah acceptor. You have to have become that kind of person. So that going to Har Sinai at the end of the story meant that they were ready to go to Har Sinai. That the Maharal said that they were a Beit Kibul. They were like a vessel into which the Torah could fit. When God gave the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael, it fit with them. They understood it. Because they understood about God, and they stood about the fact that God's world would continue to exist in, no matter what opposition there seemed to be, on the ground. So again, I say, Dam is a denial of creation. Everything died. Everything died in the Dam. That kind of denial of creation could not continue to exist. And so, Shiva Yamim. That's what the Pasuk says. 7 days. It was predetermined that it would come to an end. Even Moshe Rabbeinu understood, not even, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that, and therefore he didn't have to daven. And apparently Paro understood that the Chartumim would not have any power over ending this situation, even though they had a certain negative power in creating the Dam. Tzvardeya is also, besides being a Makkah, was also the sign, that Dam came to an end. There was no more Dam, there was Tzvardeya. And the Tzvardeya was life from the Yaor, life coming out of the Yaor. And it may be because of this two-pronged idea about Tzvardeya, that on the one hand, Tzvardeya is a Makkah, but on the other hand, Tzvardeya, it means that Dam has come to an end. There's no more Dam. That distortion of creation no longer exists. That's all why in Tehillim, in Perek Ayin Chet, Tzvardeya is misplaced. It's put with Arov and not as a separate Makkah after Dam, because it had these two functions. Right, the Tzvardeya had the two functions. It was a Makkah, but it was also the dissolution of the first Makkah, which is called Dam. From this you also know that there are powers in the world, that can, Rav Nachman said, there are powers in the world that can mess everything up. But eventually it has to straighten out, because that's what creation means. God created the world, and the world will be as God created it. Man / woman, parody, can mess things up tremendously, but at the end the mess gets straightened out, and you go back to the world that God created as God created it. Yeah.
Afterwards, he said, it's spontaneously that when Allah was used for the thralls into Ha'al,
yeah,
he lifted them up.
But tell it's right there.
Out of the blood, it was still there. All right. He hadn't stopped the blood.
Okay, if I say this again, I'll quote it. No, I will. So that's, in any event, that's what I think about Svardaya. Have a good Shabbos.